MPB.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPB Online.org. MPB Think Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's a beautiful morning outside. If you're in the South anyway, or at least you're from my part of the South, because it's sunny out there. It's cool, but it's not cold. It's not chilly. Not hot. But I did get my first mosquito bite day before yesterday, so don't think that cold weather gave us any breaks, folks. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing, and you're listening to Mississippi Public Broadcasting, one of our many locally produced programs. Glad to be with you. Sit back and relax, because we've got an hour of mostly gardening stuff, or mostly life with a gardening twist. Again, you're listening to Mississippi Public Broadcasting, Think Radio. I'm your host this morning, horticulturist Felder Rushing, and we're going to sort of talk about gardening when we come back. Stick with us. We'll be back right after a little bit of news. Alrighty, folks, welcome back. We're going to be talking about gardening. Gardening, that's what it's about. I'm here in Mississippi, studios of Mississippi Public Broadcasting, but I know we have listeners from Alabama and Tennessee and Arkansas, Louisiana, and on the internet. I appreciate that. But one of the things I want to emphasize is we're talking about gardening. It has nothing to do with where you are. Gardening is a universal thing, whether you live in the United States or UK or South America, Africa, wherever you are. It's all about green side up, folks. Green side up, and hopefully growing stuff that likes where you live, and hopefully that it looks nice, and hopefully when you're tired of looking at it, you can eat it. To me, that's what gardening's about, growing stuff that's pretty and useful. And that you enjoy. And if there's a lot of challenge, a lot of hassles, but on one hand, I'm sorry. You know, there are other things waiting for that hole. But on the other hand, this reason I got a job. So give me a call if you want to talk about your garden. Anyway, I do appreciate the opportunity Mississippi Public Broadcasting affords us to get together, especially those of you who are listening today who like gardening but don't like other people. This is a way for us to get together without having to do anything with anybody. So sit back, relax a little bit. If you've got questions, shoot me an email. I'm going to throw out a couple of things this morning to remind folks of. The most important upcoming thing, if you live in central Mississippi, Millsaps College, which is in Jackson, right off of State Street, very easy to get to, nice and secure, got a guard gate and all that stuff, has adult education, night classes, and they do everything from flower arranging to, you know, how to make bricks, I guess, photography. But they've got three coming up that are related to gardening starting next week. One is my own gardening class, which I teach, is three Monday nights in a row. And this time we're talking about growing food, flowers that are edible, herbs, vegetables, fruits that look good in the landscape, things you can grow that you can eat. And again, it's pretty intense, but it's aimed towards absolute beginners. But there's enough stuff for people who already know some things where I think I got some surprises for you. Anyway, that's starting next week. Also, Rick Griffin is teaching his celebrated home landscaping course. Rick is a real blast. And then we got a fellow named Ron who's teaching Bamboo 101, all about bamboo, the different kinds, how you can grow it, different ways you can use it, all about bamboo. Those three things, landscaping, Bamboo 101, growing food at home, those are all starting at Millsaps College next week. And if you want the phone number, I'll give it to you in a minute. Meanwhile, start looking around for a pencil. Before we get much further into the emails, let me go down to the Gulf Coast and see what Lena's up to. Hey, Lena, good morning.
Good morning. I was digging up my butterfly ginger to make room for my my English roses that I ordered.
Yeah, did they come in?
No, but
okay, mine either.
I was wondering will the ginger rejuvenate after that such a hard freeze?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that plant is hardy up in Memphis, Tennessee. It looks terrible. But you know when you dug it up, the roots down there, that rhizome fleshy looking thing, it still feels nice and firm.
Uh-huh.
No problem at all. Just put it where it can get a little bit of sun, not too much hot sun and wind, and it'll do great.
Okay. What about my, I had two large containers of birds of paradise, and they look terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. Bird of paradise is kind of iffy. And again, it wasn't so much that it got cold. It got cold suddenly, and it stayed cold.
Right.
Bird of paradise, the Strelitzia, really doesn't do well even outside on the Gulf Coast because of our normal winters, and we just had a normal winter. So all I can say is cut it back and let's wait and see.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
You bet, Lena.
Bye.
All righty. So far, so good. 2 for 2. By the way, interesting football this weekend. I don't care if you're even not a football fan. They got the playoff games, got 4 teams, and after Sunday, 2 of those are going to go to the Super Bowl. Well, the thing is, this is to me the best one because you got 4 teams. More important, you have 4 sets of fans. I don't really care about the teams. The fans are great, and the Saints and the Vikings are playing each other Sunday. It's going to be great just watching the fans. Go to Union, Mississippi. Hi, Denise. Good morning.
Good morning, Felder. How are you doing?
So far, so good.
Haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, what you been up to?
I'm just working, man. Trying to raise that little girl.
How's she doing? She's not a little girl anymore. She's got to be a teenager now.
No, she's 11. She thinks she's a teenager,
yeah.
I promise.
Hug her while you can. Hug her while you can.
Oh, I am. I needed to ask about our Confederate roses. We haven't trimmed those down yet. And is it too late to go ahead and put those, you know, where they can be rooted?
Probably because of the cold weather. What I would do is take your thumbnail and scratch on the bark. If it's still bright green right on the bark, that part hasn't frozen and it can root. But
okay.
I just don't know because that, you know, it was unusually cold, unusually fast. And I know. And if you don't,
I was unusually without hot water for 2 days.
hey, I live in Jacktown. We didn't have water.
I know. Bless your heart.
That's
we didn't have to use a porta potty.
Hey, I'm an Eagle Scout. We were prepared.
There you go.
Yeah, good luck on the Confederate Rose.
I appreciate it, Felder.
You bet,
thank
Denise.
You.
Hug your girl.
I will. Bye bye.
Confederate Rose, for those of you who don't know, is a type of hibiscus. It's called Hibiscus mutabilis. It's called mutabilis because the flowers start out one color, and as the day progresses or over several days, they fade. They go from I don't know whether it's white to pink to red or from red to pink to white, but anyway, they fade. And it's also called cotton leaf mallow because it's a big, tall, multiple-stem plant, dies the ground, comes up with great big flowers just in the fall that change colors, Confederate Rose. And it comes back every year, but you can also root pieces of it in water if you catch it before wintertime. Let's see what's up in Terry. Hey, Jill, good morning.
Morning. How are you this morning?
Fine. You got a wet backyard?
I have a terribly wet backyard, and I need to know what I can plant to sop up some of this water.
Okay. Well, first of all, you could swap it around. Say you have a wonderfully wet backyard, and there's some things that you can grow that won't grow in dry dirt.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of things. For one thing, you know, where it is wet, you can plant a lot of stuff around the edges of that. You can actually accentuate it and scoop out a little bit of the wettest area and pile it up and have an area that's called a rain garden where water naturally collects and settles for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of trendy, as a matter of fact. And there's even websites about creating a rain garden. All it is an area that stays wet part of the year.
Okay.
And we have a lot of native plants that do well. And another, 2 or 3 weeks or so, you can start seeing along the roadside a tree that looks like it's got red flowers. But
mm-hmm.
it's a native, it's called the swamp red maple. And those are little seed things, samaras is what they're called. That loves to grow in low, wet ditches.
Okay.
There's also, in the fall, you'll see down the ditches, you'll see this big, tall sunflower. That's called it in narrowly sunflower. It does great in those kind of things. So what I would do is over this year, as you drive back and forth and around, look at what's growing in the ditches naturally where they can't mow, and you'll see some wonderful stuff.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. I live on the low side of the main drag in Terry, and everything from the main street comes through my yard.
Well, a couple of other things you can do, Jill. You can also, if you want to plant stuff that really doesn't like that sort of stuff, if you loosen up the roots and the potting soil and put it on top of the ground, then pile dirt up to over about a 3 or 4 foot wide area, like a pitcher's mound, then that'll get it up above the wetness.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
So you could do that, and that would help.
Okay, well, I sure appreciate it.
Okay, now, one last thing.
Uh-huh.
If you go online, go to the MSU website. It's called MSUcares.com. And I'm fond of saying they don't care. It's just called Coordinated Access to Research, Extension, Education.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, MSUcares.com. Click on Home Gardening. Mm-hmm. And then they've got a bunch of links. And one is called Sustainable Gardening. And they've got a list there of plants that grow well in rain gardens, which are, you know, for low wet areas.
Okay, well, I will sure do it. Thank you so much.
You bet. I'm going to say stay cool today, Jill. See ya.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Hook it up. Okay, yeah, MSUcares.com. It's got a bunch of interesting stuff there. And I do have some other I've got some interesting other websites that I'd like to share with you sometime. When I get stumped on things, I connect with my peers. And there's a website out of Texas A&M, and there's a place out of Atlanta, Georgia, done by Walter Reeves. He does similar stuff, radio and newspaper and TV and stuff, as I do. And they have answers. They have long lists of questions, every question that you can imagine with answers to it. So that's something I'd suggest, is spend a little time on the Internet, see what's out there. Also, if you're really interested in connecting with somebody who has similar concerns, similar growing conditions, there's a website called GardenWeb, gardenweb.com. And if you'll go to that, it has what they call forums, and it's a safe site. Forums are long list of, if you're interested in African violence, click on that. There's nothing but African violent people there. If you like gourds, if you're in Mississippi or Louisiana, you click on the Mississippi, Louisiana link, and you've got people from here who are online. If you have questions about gardening, they'll throw in the two bits. So that's kind of cool. And if you live in Arizona, they got an Arizona link. So all I'm saying is gardenweb.com has got a lot of really, really cool stuff and people that are like-minded. Not all their advice is good, but, you know, it gets pretty quickly followed up by people who say, you know, that wasn't very good advice. I'm headed out this afternoon. As soon as I get off the radio, I'm going over to North Carolina to give a lecture at this place called Tryon Palace. It's in New Bern, which is right on the coast. And New Bern was the seat of the early colonial governor before the American Revolution. They have his palace and his parterre garden, historic vegetable gardens and fruits and stuff like that. It's called Tryon Palace, T-R-Y-O-N Palace. I'm going to be over there tomorrow. Let's see what Brian's up to in Cortland. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Everything's lovely.
Yes, it is. Better than we deserve, I might add.
Got a question for you on Jerusalem artichokes.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with those?
Yeah.
Well, I saw them in a magazine. I was just wondering, is that something we can grow around here? Or?
Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, it's kind of weedy. It's a native plant, and it's really a sunflower. It blooms in the fall. Big, tall, little small flowers, lots of little small flowers, but it's a tall, thin sunflower, and then has those great big tuberous roots. I think, is that the same thing as sunjoke?
I don't know.
Okay, and I'm drawing a blank. Jerusalem artichoke. Yeah, that's what it is. Jerusalem artichoke. It's the tuberous thing in the ground. It looks like a bulb-like thing.
Well, is that like the little wild sunflowers that are smaller than the kind you plant the seeds to?
Yeah, real similar. Tall. The flower's a little bit bigger, but again, it makes these tubers and it spreads. And some people find that if you put it out there and you try to get rid of it, you can't quite get rid of all of it. But that's all it is. It's also called sunchoke, sunflower. But anyways, yeah, perfectly hardy here.
Okay. Well, I wonder where I would get it.
Go to a store. Buy some. Go to a big supermarket. Well, you're in Cortland. What am I saying?
There's no supermarket.
Drive over to Hattiesburg or someplace. Find a big supermarket that's got a nice produce section. Buy some Jerusalem artichoke and just plant them.
Okay.
Or else the catalog. You know, there's lots of places that sell them online.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you, Mr. Felder.
You bet. Have fun with it. Something in the back of my mind. What am I saying? Jerusalem artichoke? Yeah, that's the same thing, sunchoke. Whatever. Got some emails here. One is Margaret Michael wanted to know what she could plant under and around her shrubs and roses to prevent so many weeds from coming up in the warm weather. And the answer is mulch. Shredded bark, leaves, things like that. That'll keep the weed seeds from sprouting. If you got perennial weeds, you got to spray them because nothing's going to keep them from coming up. You got to kill them after they're up. But a good thick layer of mulch, keep down a whole bunch of weeds, makes things look nice too. And plus, it'll keep the weed eater away from your plants. We're going to take a little bit of a break, come back with more of the Gestalt Gardener here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. I hope you tune in every weekday from 9 till 10 for these locally produced programs. We'll be right back after this.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. mpbonline.org. MPB Think Radio. Think Radio.
All right, the Saints going to come marching in, folks, and they're hosting the Vikings Sunday in one of the Super Bowl playoffs. I'm really torn. You know, one of our producers here, he's going to remain nameless, doesn't really care for the Saints that much. He's a Vikings fan. I like the Vikings, too. I'm rooting for Brett. I don't care who he's playing for. Brett's a Mississippi boy, but he's playing the Saints. So what do you do? It's called cognitive dissonance. You want everybody to win. Somebody's got to lose. Somebody's got to win. You know, what I told this producer, this high and mighty boss of mine, that it's not the Saints that he doesn't, that, you know, you don't get it. It's not about the football team. It's about the fans. Saints fans are the best because they don't know how to act whether they're winning or losing. Anyway, looking forward to seeing how Brett does and the Saints do, because one of the others is going to go to the Super Bowl, and I'm going to be happy either way. And we're going to kick around a few more ideas with you, but somebody called in and wanted to know if he could water a kumquat tree, I don't know if it's in a pot or in the ground, using a plastic bottle. And the answer is, yeah, that's what I do, because I'm gone a lot. What I do is I take plastic drink bottles, you know, not the great big giant kinds, but the medium size. And actually, to be honest, cranberry light. I don't like cranberry light, but apparently it's good for me. So anyway, I punch tiny little holes at the bottom, one or two in the bottom of it, and I sink it just part ways in the ground so it'll stand upright, and I fill it with water. And because the holes get clogged up with dirt, it doesn't just gush out. Right at first it gushes out, but it slowly seeps out and drips out in the soil down beneath the surface, so it gets down around roots. You can do that with a gallon milk jug, anything that doesn't blow away. Punch tiniest little hole you can do, teensy holes. And I tell you what I use. You know when you're eating an ear of corn and they got those two little yellow corn cob-looking things with the nails on it, you stick them in each end so you can hold the corn without touching it? That's what I use to poke my holes. And I also take it a step further. I spray paint my bottles green, because they don't show up as much. They don't look as much like bottles when they're stuck down the ground like that. Anyway, you can also put fertilizer in it. You can use a commercial fertilizer, or else you can use manure. You can put manure in there or compost and call compost tea. Not that big a deal. Kind of interesting way of making what we call homemade drip irrigation. Let's go to Oxford. Hey, Linda, what am I saying wrong about Jerusalem artichoke?
Yeah, I'm a real fan of Jerusalem artichokes and wanted to encourage folks to buy some and plant them.
Now, this is the one that looks like a sunflower, right?
Oh, it is.
Okay.
Ours last year grew about 10 feet tall and had beautiful flowers on them, and then produced about a bushel of wonderful tubers. The tubers look almost exactly like ginger root.
Yeah. And you peel them, and you can eat them raw. They sort of like taste like peanuts to me a little bit.
Well, they're crispy. If you eat them raw, slice them and eat them raw, they taste a lot like water chestnuts to me.
Yeah.
But my favorite way to eat them is to roast them. Just put some olive oil on them and a little bit of salt and put them in the oven for about half an hour.
Wow.
And they're wonderful. And they're really a lot better for you than potatoes, which they can take the place of.
And they're pretty when they bloom, and they grow like weeds.
They do. As a matter of fact, most people complain that they're invasive. But I say, what could be better than a food product that's invasive?
That's right. If it tries to get away from you, just eat it.
Right.
Well,
wanted to encourage the person who called or anyone else to go to the grocery store and buy them, as you said, instead of ordering them from a seed company, because the cost from a seed company is really high.
Yeah.
I think I paid about $7 a pound for my first start. And if you know anyone that has any, they'll be glad to share.
Yeah, and they got plenty. Matter of fact, one of the rules about pass along plans is anytime somebody wants to give you a lot of something, think twice. But anyway, it's also called sunchoke. It's one of North America's most important native food crops, and a lot of people don't grow it because they just don't think about it.
Indeed. But it is. It tastes wonderful, and it's beautiful while it's growing, so it's a great plant. But I would put it in a sunny place.
Yeah.
you know, like in the north of your garden, so it'll get sun, but it won't shade out anything else.
Yeah, I had some, oddly enough, I had some wonderful Jerusalem artichoke up in New Hampshire this past summer. Mm-hmm. And a guy named Roger Swain, it was in the fall at his place. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Sometimes those tubers get almost as big around as your wrist.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We had some that size. They're a little bit, it takes a little bit of time to peel them off. You peel them.
Yeah.
But if you take a good stiff brush, you really don't have to peel them.
Yeah.
And then just chop them up and either eat them raw or boil them or mash them. But like I say, our favorite way is roasting them.
Excellent. Thank you, Linda. Appreciate it.
Oh, and the other thing I should say is we found the perfect way, it seems, to store them after we dug them in the fall was to put them in a box and layer them with sand.
Huh.
And keep them moist, and they're just like fresh.
I want to say it seemed like that. Well, the nice part about it, Linda, you don't have to do that. Just go out and dig them whenever you want them.
Well, that's true, too. That's true, too.
Just remember where they are. Just go out there and root around the ground.
That's right.
Thank you, Linda. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. We really enjoy your show,
of course. I appreciate you enlightening the rest of us, too. That was good. I got stuck on the Jerusalem artichoke thing because, you know, we talked about artichokes a week or so or 2 weeks ago. You know, which are the thistle-looking flower things that you eat. Let's see what's going on in Memphis. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Oh, hi. Good morning, Feller.
How are
you? Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. What's up?
I run a housing nonprofit in Memphis.
Yeah.
And we own a bunch of vacant lots that take time and trouble to keep cut adequately so that it's considered to the neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
And I've been trying to figure out if there's given the housing market, we're unlikely to build on these things in the next few years.
I'm
wondering if there's a ground cover that we can plant on these things that will make them reasonably attractive that will cut down my maintenance.
That's a real...
And other than kudzu, I would say.
Yeah. It's a real good question. And there's a lot of different approaches. All have shortcomings. You know, if there was something easy, everybody would already be doing it.
I hear you.
And unfortunately, you know, probably your best bet is just to get somebody with a bush hog and let stuff get a little on the high side, but mow it regularly a little on the high side. And that'll help a little bit. And what'll happen is you'll end up with some wildflowers that come in. If you just mow it kind of high, you'll have spring and fall wildflowers. And all you have to do is cut it once in the fall to keep it neat all winter and then a couple of times in the summer. As long as you you might even want to think about going to a place called Wild Seed, one word, Wild Seed online, and get some of our native wildflowers like Coreopsis, and you could throw that out there in the fall, and it'll bloom in the spring. And because it's a nice sturdy, the Coreopsis is called Plains, Plains, Coreopsis. You'll see it all over Memphis. Once you see it bloom and you say, oh, yeah, I've seen that all my life. But you could throw that stuff out there, grow all winter, bloom like crazy in spring and early summer, and it'll look like it's supposed to be there. Then you cut it down, and then the next year it reseeds itself. You got it from there.
Sure.
And actually, you can cut it.
That's a reasonable idea, and I was thinking of vines, but that's a different approach.
No,
tell me the website again.
It's Wild Seed. One
wow,
word,
sure.
Yeah. But anyway, and I'm not trying to get technical here, but if you remember Coreopsis and this tinct, T-I-N-C-T, tinctoria, Coreopsis T, whatever. Or shoot me an email, I'll help you more with that. The other thing is think about maybe getting the neighborhood kids involved in planting some trees and let them turn into wooded lots.
I think that's a good idea. And some of these we are doing community gardens with, but there are just so many of them at this juncture that we can't do that with all of them.
Well, you know,
I think you're right about putting in some major trees. Of course, it takes a little while for the shade to take over.
No, you can go to the Soil Conservation Service or the Forestry Commission and get bundles of trees, little small trees for like 50 cents a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And they're knee high when they're set out. You can plant them in less than a minute, and they will be more than head high by the end of the first year. Those little bundles of tree seedlings, we planted some one year when my son was born. He was born in February. 4 years later, we both fell out of one of them. That's how fast they grow.
Any particular varieties that you recommend?
There's some good ones. You know, you could use pines, although they're not really landscape trees. They're more forest product trees. But they got cypress trees. They've got – I wouldn't go with the flowering things, but just some of the hardwood trees. And, again, you get them by the bundles and maybe get a some Boy Scouts need a service project or something.
Sure. Okay.
Shoot me an email, Great. Steve.
Great. Hey, thank you very much.
You bet. All righty. Let's go to Water Valley. Hey, Faye, good morning.
Hey, I'd like to ask you about monkey grass seed. Are they poisonous or are they not?
I don't think that they are. They're in the lily family, but I don't think you eat them.
Yeah, well, I don't eat them, but my little dog does. Well, he loves those things.
How long has he been doing it?
Well, we moved to this apartment in November, and he's been eating them every time he can find them.
Well, so far they hadn't killed him, so that's a good sign.
They hadn't killed him, no.
Yep. And there can't be many left because they don't make a whole lot of berries.
Oh, but these do. They're just rows and rows of them, and they are just all over the place.
And you know what that tells me, Faye? That tells me that in the summertime you have rows and rows of spikes of pretty lavender flowers.
Yeah.
Monkey grass is one of my absolute favorite groups of plants. I have 11 different kinds of monkey grass. And I've got one that the flowers are shaped like little miniature Christmas trees. They're about 6 inches tall, and they're fat at the bottom. Look just like little lavender Christmas trees.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah. And but I wouldn't want your dog to find out about mine.
Hey, the fella who was wanting the ground cover for his vacant lot.
Yes, ma'am.
Would the little ajugas not work? They spray it quickly.
They do, but he's got lots of property,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, if you got shade, ajuga does well. But if you don't, if weeds start growing up, it just becomes, you know, somebody's got out there and weed them. You know how it is.
Uh-huh.
But for small areas, it's a wonderful ground cover for regular home landscapes. People overlook it. Old fashioned carpet bugle is what they used to call it.
Carpet bugle.
Yeah, because it spreads like a carpet, and the flowers look like little bugles.
Oh.
I guess that's why they call it that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good luck with your puppy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, indeed. By the way, if a dog can eat something and a bird can eat something, doesn't mean you can eat it. Oh, you can eat it, but I don't know if I'd recommend it. Let's go back down to the coast. Hey, Edward, what's going on in Waveland?
No, not much. Working today. How you doing?
I'm fine. Well, what you doing goofing off on the radio instead of working?
I'm driving.
Okay. What's up? What can I help you with?
I was wondering, how come my red bud doesn't seem to be thriving down here? And I really hadn't seen any south of Poplarville.
Well,
I think I've seen one in Bay St. Louis.
I've seen them. They do fine on the coast. But now,
do they?
That's right. I mean, they do fine down in, over to Houston and down in Florida. And a lot of times when I'm giving talks in the spring, when I'm giving talks to a garden club, I stop by the roadside and grab stuff that's in bloom then to talk about native plants. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I've broken off branches of red bud in the spring. But now here's what it needs. Edward, red bud is a native woodland plant. It grows best at the edge of woods, not out in the brawling. It'll grow in the brawling hot sun, but it grows better in, you know, light shade or at the edge of some woods. So
maybe I've got mine too deep in the edge.
Could be. And being native plants, they really don't need a bunch of care. And plus, you know, Katrina might have wiped out a lot of the smaller species of trees too. Especially
mm-hmm.
in Wave.
Okay.
I mean, Waveland, your red bud was covered up with water.
Well, I put mine in the ground 2 years ago, and it just doesn't seem to be thriving.
That's just a young plant. Give it some time.
Okay.
Give it some time.
What's the bright purple variety? What's that called?
Of red bud.
Yeah.
I don't remember. You know, they've got Oklahoma, they got Texas redbud, they got so many different kinds. I had one for a while called, what was the name of that thing? I had one that had just real thick wads of flowers on it, but I had it in a pot and forgot to water it and it died. I don't remember.
But thanks for talking.
Okay, Edward.
Nah.
Hands on the wheels. Hands on the wheels, my friend. We're going to talk for another 30 minutes or so about gardening here in the deep south, the lower mid-deep south. And then I'm going to head over to North Carolina to give a presentation in New Bern at the famous and exotic Tryon Palace. Millsaps College has adult education night classes on an unbelievable number of topics, including gardening, landscaping, bamboo. If you want some information, I'm going to give the number in just a couple of minutes. Or you can go to millsaps.edu and figure it out from there. You have to punch a few buttons, but you'll get there. Community or adult enrichment. Community college at night at Millsaps College in Jackson. I'm going to be teaching a three-week, one-night-a-week course on growing food at home starting this coming Monday night. If you're interested, give them a call. I'll give the phone number and come back for some music. But meanwhile, need to remember, folks, we are stardust. We are stardust, and we've got to do better. Just like they said in the Day the Earth Stood Still, do better. We'll be right back after this. Special music from the Gestalt Gardener.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPB Online.org. MPB Think Radio.
Well, Welcome back, folks. Felder Rushing here. You're listening to Mississippi Public Broadcasting, the Gestalt Garden. And I said I was going to give some information on how to get in touch if you're interested in Millsaps College's adult enrichment night classes. They have an unbelievable assortment of classes on creative writing, everything, personal finances, computers, photography, all that. But mostly I'm promoting the gardening stuff, of course. Rick Griffin, teaching a class on landscaping. He's done it for a number of years. A lot of people really enjoy that. Ron is doing his program on bamboo, everything about bamboo, unbelievable detail about the different kinds of bamboo, including the kind that don't run, you know, the kind that stay in clumps, nice and neat, plus the many different uses of it, including how to eat bamboo. It's a really interesting plant, group of plants, often misunderstood. And I'm teaching a class called Growing Food at Home, flowers that are edible, herbs, vegetables that look like flowers, and fruits that are suitable for landscaping. And speaking of fruits, not this weekend, not the next weekend, but the next one, the first weekend in February, I'm doing a home fruit seminar, free home fruit seminar at Hutto's in Jackson. That's a long time off. We'd like to throw out the phone number at the Millsaps College. In central Mississippi, everything is 601. This is 973-1130, 973-1130, Millsaps College. Or just go to 411, say Millsaps College, and then say adult education, community enrichment, night classes, whatever. They'll put you through. Go to millsaps.edu for more information. And we're going to be kicking around a few other ideas. Before I take this next phone call, let me share a recipe that's from one of my all-time favorite cookbooks. Now, some of you are going to take this wrong. Please understand the title says it all. It's called White Trash Cooking. White Trash Cooking. Not making this up. It's not a joke. These are real recipes from people. It doesn't matter whether you, what color you are, what race, what religion, anything like that. This is real food. And I want to share one that's called Stella Lee's Punch Pie. Stella Lee's Punch Pie. It's a real easy recipe. Pay attention. Take an old apple pie, one from the day-old rack of the supermarket, and punch holes all over the top crust after it's baked. Then pour on the rum or brandy, making sure it gets in all the holes. Now, that's good enough, but to make it really something, sprinkle on a little sugar. Now, don't load it down, and set fire to it. That's what you call making it prissy. Old apple pie, holes punched all over the top, rum or brandy filling up the holes, little sugar, set fire to it. Give it a try, folks. Word to the wise, watch your eyebrows. Alan's calling from Blue Mountain. Alan, where is Blue Mountain?
Hey, Blue Mountain's in North Mississippi.
Okay, not in the Delta, though.
Home of Blue Mountain College.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's going on? Did you get cold enough last week?
It got good enough, but it's nice now.
Yeah. So what's up with your wisteria crabapple?
I don't know what's up with them. I planted them, and I love wisteria. They come out beautiful green in the spring, but no blooms at all. And that's the wisteria, the crab. A little crab apple tree is just beautiful.
But
pretty green, but
no blooms.
No blooms, and I wonder if it's and they're only about 40 feet apart.
Yeah,
they're like they're in the same area.
Yeah, well, they're not in the same family, so we can rule out some kind of disease or something like that. The crab apples, for one thing, they're different crab apples. Some do better further north. Some do better down in the south. And sometimes they don't get enough cold weather to bloom right. So it might just
well,
be
that. Enough this year.
Yeah, and so they might bloom this year. These trees tell time. It's oddball. It's called chilling hours, and it's real important for fruit plants. The number of hours above freezing but below about 45. In other words, refrigerator-type temperatures. And the number of hours plants get in that range is how they tell time. And some plants will bloom early. It might be your set buds, and they freeze in the winter. It might be they don't get enough to set buds. I don't know.
But yeah, they've never set buds even.
Yeah. Well, it could just be you planted it wrong, Alan. Come on. You might have planted it too deep or something. You might have hit it with a weed eater. I don't know. But let me tell you about the wisteria, though. Wisteria is different. Wisteria grows and blooms best in miserable, poor, dry, low fertility, horrible roadside dirt. And if yours has roots anywhere near good dirt, they're going to grow all vine and not flower. So here's what you can try. Go out from the trunk, 3 or 4 or 5 feet, 8 feet, you know, and make a few cuts with a shovel. cut some of the roots. Not enough to kill the plant, but enough to shock it. And a lot of times that'll cause it to flower.
I'll be glad to.
Yeah. Now, it may be too late for this year, because they've already should have set their flower buds for this year. So if they get plenty of sunshine, they're not getting too much water, fertilizer, and you can fake that by stressing them with root pruning. Give that.
They're probably getting a little too much water, and they're probably in too fertile a soil.
They don't do well at all there. It's all vines. Okay. It's like tomato with too much fertilizer. All vines. See, they're a legume. They make their own fertilizer, and if they get in good dirt, it's more than, you know, so they would rather grow than flower.
I believe you've got it.
Yeah.
I appreciate your help, and I enjoy your program.
Oh, let me give you one other little quick hint, Alan. If you make too many cuts, wherever you cut a wisteria root, sometimes it'll sprout up a new plant right there. So cut it out where you can mow.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? good luck on it.
Appreciate it.
You betcha. And before they could take another call, got an email from Paulette Lewis in Hattiesburg. She said, do you think the sago palms are ruined? All of them in their neighborhood are brown. We cut off all the fans now. We're waiting until the last frost. Paulette, sagos, first of all, everybody who knows this is expecting me to say this. They're not palms. And I'm saying that just to satisfy those kind of snobs who want to make a big deal out of stuff like that. But sagos look really bad, even on the coast, because of that sudden hard, long freeze. Most of the time, they'll come back. In Jackson, I'm not sure. They really look rough in my neighborhood. They may not come back because it stayed cold just long enough. But when it comes to the brown fronds, go ahead and cut them off. See what happens. Wait for new growth. You know, if it doesn't come out of the top, sometimes sagos will sprout out little pups at the base. Not all palms will do that, but sometimes sagos will. One last suggestion. It's going to sound odd. Of course, if you're going to cut them off anyway, first of all, brown is a color too. I like that color. It's called taupe. You can just enjoy them like that. Or you can spray paint them. They're dead anyway. Spray paint them at least for a day, just till your neighbors get their shorts in a knot, then cut them off. We're going to be back with more of the Gestalt Gardener. And I'm going to go down to Bill and talk about bamboo in just a second, right after this. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing. You're listening to Mississippi Public Broadcasting.
MPB. This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPBOnline.org. MPB Think Radio. Think Radio.
Got a call from Natchez, Mississippi, a guy named Bill. Bill, you with me this morning?
Yes, I am. Hi, Felder.
Howdy. What can I help you with?
I'm just wondering, is there a type of bamboo that can be grown for commercial purposes?
Oh, yeah. There's different kinds of bamboo that are grown for commercial uses. I sleep on sheets that are made out of bamboo. But timber bamboo, there's so many different kinds. And there's some that are edible. And there's actually a market for fresh bamboo.
Well, so, I was wondering about bamboo that can be used for construction purposes.
Yeah. We have timber bamboo, all different kinds. There's a fellow who lives in Ebers, Mississippi, just between Jackson and Vicksburg, who is a member of the American Bamboo Society, and he teaches a class at Millsaps College on bamboo, its uses, the different kinds, all that kind of stuff. And it's a two-hour drive for you for the short course, but if you'll send me an email, Bill, I'll put you in touch with Ron.
He is a
world-renowned expert on different kinds of bamboo and their uses.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you, Bill.
Shoot me an email, and we'll take it from there. That'll be great. I'd love to see how Ron – matter of fact, I'd love to spend some time with you if you're going to be doing that and see what Ron has to suggest.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill. You bet.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Let me see. I can't tell if I should push this button or not. It's blinking. What do I do? Do I push a button that's blinking? Yes. Cleon from Henleyfield. Is that right?
Yes. Good morning, Felder.
I know. Wait. I've been to Henleyfield.
You have?
And you know, you got to be going there to get there.
Well,
kind of. What's going on?
I'm building a house, and what I want to plant around my house in particular is mayhaws and blueberries, and I want to know if there are any particulars I should keep in mind.
Yeah, a couple real fast. One is blueberries really like, you'll never hear me recommend this except with blueberries. They like peat moss, the Canadian kind of stuff. You can add compost and bark to your dirt, but add a little regular Canadian peat moss because it holds up a long time, is acidic, and they really like a little bit of peat moss, maybe a little bark, mixed into your native dirt.
Okay.
Up to about a fourth or a third of the volume, two-thirds or three-fourths of your native dirt with a mixture of bark and peat mixed in with it. And second thing about blueberries is there's a lot of different varieties. Some produce early, some produce mid-season, some produce late season. And if you'll mix them all up, you'll have better pollination, better fruit set on all of them, and a longer season of harvest.
Okay.
And by the way, right up the road from you at Poplarville, they got one of the state's, one of the South's largest blueberry experiment stations. They got a lot of good information right there on the latest varieties. Now, as far as the mayhaws, it's a terrific native plant. I love them. They're hard to get to because they tend to grow in bottomland conditions. But they are seriously affected by disease that spread from pine trees, which you've got, cedar trees, which you've got a lot of. It's called cedar apple rust.
Ah.
It will completely wipe out your entire fruit crop. But there is a non-toxic fungicide spray that you can put out once in the springtime when the fungus is spreading from the cedars to the apples and mayhaws and all like that. That'll prevent it for the whole year.
Alrighty.
So if you can grow mayhaws, also look for different, for improved varieties. They got names like Super Spur. They got some with big, big fruit. Lots of interesting varieties of mayhaws, but you just need to learn about cedar apple rust and when to put that one spray.
Oh, and also, can you tell me a source for the golden peach yellow colored azaleas?
Nope.
No.
Sorry.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I don't know. Okay, you bet. Okay. Good luck. I guess you wanted me to be honest about it. How do you find one particular kind of? Maybe she's talking about the native azalea, the one that drops its leaves in the wintertime. And she's talking about the native azaleas, what some people call wild honeysuckle. There's lots of good online sources for native or flame azaleas. So, Cleon, if you're still listening, go online and just do a word search for native or deciduous azaleas, and you'll find some really, really good sources. There are some nurseries that grow them. There's some garden centers that sell them. I just don't know of any in the Henleyville area, so we'll take it from there. We'd like to remind folks one more time that Millsaps College is offering its night classes. We have a lot of people who ride together, who two or three people in one car take different classes or whatever. But if you're interested in the evening classes, these are done by people who are really enthusiastic about their topic. They're typically one night a week for one, two, three, maybe four nights. And if you want more information, go to millsaps.edu or else give them a call at 601-973-1130. I don't even get that number. Go to 411 and ask for Millsaps and ask for adult education or community enrichment, something like that. They'll take it from there. Now, I'm just assuming that people don't remember numbers like I don't. I just hate when they give out numbers because I don't know where my pencil is. I can't remember it. Joe's calling from Tippah County. What's going on up in the icebox in North Mississippi?
Well, I'm wondering about that spray that you're talking about that can counteract or prevent red cedar rust.
Yeah.
Because I have an apple tree that's badly affected by it, and I'm wondering if it works on apple trees.
It does, but does the cedar apple rust affect your apples or just put spots on the leaves?
It puts spots on the leaves and deforms. I mean, where it ruins the apples, too. It makes them, they're small and... taste good, but they're ugly and they're small.
That's not cedar apple rust. That's because you hadn't pruned the trees and don't thin it out and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's got all the symptoms of rust. The leaves are all fell off in the middle of the summer this year, then they came back on.
Yeah, the cedar apple rust caused those little round spots with the rusty stuff. I don't remember the name of the spray. I've known it forever, but since I retired, I decided I'm just going to forget stuff except the major details. But if you'll go online or call the extension service or go to any garden center and say cedar apple rust, they've got a spray that says cedar apple rust on it. Here's the deal.
I haven't heard of it. Okay.
Yeah, it spreads from cedar trees in the spring just as the new leaves start coming on your apple trees, and it looks like little masses of orangey jelly, finger-like little masses of jelly on the cedar trees. And when you see that, that's when you spray because the spores are spread just then, and then you're done for the whole year.
Okay, well, I got tons of cedar trees all around.
Oh,
my
yeah.
place.
Hey, this stuff will blow for 5 miles. So even if you okay. didn't, and there's lots of cedars yep. up in your neck of the woods.
Oh yeah, loaded with them.
Yeah. Anyway, that one spray, you might want to spray a couple of times during that period. You know, a few days apart. But other than that, yep. that one spray will do it for the whole year.
Okay. Looking in the catalogs, I found one or two apple trees. They said is resistant to it.
Yeah,
there's not many of them.
No, but do they grow in North Mississippi? Some apple trees won't set flower this far south. See, so that
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, no. well, I do. I'm telling you, not all apples yep. grow yep. well here.
Okay.
Good luck on it.
Thanks a lot.
You bet. All right. I've got a bunch of emails this past week. Caught up on all of them, some of them yesterday, some last night. Been on the road a good bit. Left last week and went up to Illinois. When I was up there, halfway up there, my power steering pump went out through a fan belt, middle of nowhere, 4 miles inside Missouri from Arkansas. Got hauled in. They fixed it, got it all going. But when I got back to Jackson, had the pump replaced, and I got four brand new tires on my truck. And they got the raised white lettering. I feel really cheesy when I'm going down a road. I got this beat-up old pickup truck, John Deere Green, with white raised letter tires on it. Big knobby, not knobby. And flowers and vegetables and herbs growing in the back. And a wind chime that when I go down the highway makes me sound like an ice cream truck on crack cocaine. It is fabulous. So anyway, I look like a Bubba. I sound like a Bubba. My truck and I look like Bubbas. But folks, here's hoping that I ain't a Bubba. I'm just a gardener trying to share some stuff. Now, if you want some more information about gardening, want to email me, garden@mpbonline.org. I try to catch up on my phone calls. Sometimes my emails, it takes me a few days because I'm gone a lot. I'm gone this weekend. Otherwise, call your county extension office. If they don't know, expect them to find out. Expect them to find out. That's their job. Or go online. Go to gardenweb.com or Texas A&M. Look for their gardening website. Or do a word search for Walter Reeves. Lots of information out there, folks. Meanwhile, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. Here's hoping that everybody who is able to, and a few people who don't feel like they are, get out, spend some time in the sunshine, get your pineal gland swelling up again so you don't get seasonal affective disorder. Let's get out and get dirty. It's good for you, folks. Horticulture's Fella Rushing. I'll be back same time, same place next week.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPBOnline.org. MPB Think Radio.